Okay, since my mouth has got a blessing on it, I don't think I need this machinery. Amen? Look at your neighbor, say he's got a big mouth. But it's blessed. Hallelujah. So if some of you have a big mouth, welcome to the club. Amen? It's blessed. I want to take you to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And we'll start at verse 1. But before you go to verse 1, I want to show you verse 11, because that's the outstanding one that I was pressed about. But they did not believe the women. They did not believe the women, because their words seemed to be like nonsense. We're learning. Notice again, it's judgment, criticalness, fault-finding, and unbelief, all mixed into one little package. Verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, which is kind of cool. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Notice it's suddenly, unexpected. Two men, could have been two women, but didn't matter. These are two guys, okay? And their clothes are gleaming like lightning. In their fright, so the women would definitely be shaken. And it's okay. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" I mean, talk about a word of faith for these women to hear from those angels. Why? You see, because they knew what happened. The women had no clue. They're preparing the body in their minds on their way. How are we going to get the place opened up? Blah, blah, blah. Got their schedule all ready. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And all the things in their, you know, being was focused on a dead body. And they respond, verse 6, "He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men to be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Did you ever have a word that's given to you and you forget that it was given, and all of a sudden somebody else repeats it? Oh my God, I knew this. How come I lost it? How come it got lost in the shuffle, if you wish? The women come to life when those words are now remembered. They heard him say it, but they didn't connect the dots. There are many times that you and I are going to hear a word from God and we don't connect the dots. And the enemy, which is your soul, your mind, will, and emotions are not your friends. Okay? They war against your spirit. So your mind goes into all kinds of weird places, questions the word, tries to twist it, tries to figure it out, instead of choosing to trust. And I say choosing to trust because I've had corners where I said, God, I'm choosing by an act of my will to trust, even though my whole being is saying this is absolutely crazy. And overwhelming the craziness that I'm hearing because it doesn't make any logical sense. Now, how many see that Jesus is the first to rise from the dead as the Son of the God that loves us? It had never happened before. It had never entered their possibilities. The mind, even the Jewish realm at that time, or the Jewish community, looked at resurrection with doubts. Pastor Jay, who was here at the beginning of the feast, said one of the biggest issues when he gets to know some of the rabbis is it really true that there's a resurrection? They're still questioning it 2,000 years later. You and me have an advantage. We don't question it anymore. We just say, well, I wonder if it's going to happen. I just wonder. And I've shared this with you quite a few times. My aunt spent 50 years in a convent. 50 years serving. From the time she was a very young teenager. And all those years, she had exposure multiples of times a day for prayer, intercession, quiet time, and church. And forgive me for being in an old story, but I have a sense it needs to be repeated. She comes to me after her sister died, which was my aunt, about 3 months after. Mom and I are sitting in her kitchen. And she goes into the bedroom and she says, I've got a gift for you. And I thought, okay, there must be something that my aunt had and, you know, she's going to give me a souvenir. And it's a picture of my aunt when she's in the hospital on her deathbed. Very, very much not what I wanted. So trying to be nice, said, Auntie, I really don't want that picture. She says, you don't. This is the last picture of your aunt. I saved it just for you. My mother's looking at me, you know, from the sidelines, and she's the same because she's kind of got her hand up like she don't want it either. She says, why don't you want it? I said, I want the next photograph session. Well, she says, that don't make any sense. And now I'm seeing a confrontation about to take place. I said, Auntie, when she rises out of that grave with her new body and I'm there with her and you, we're going to have a photo session. She said, that's absolutely crazy. Okay? Now, 50 years, you got to remember, at least 50 years. Okay? So, and she's very, very truthful with me, okay? Because we've known each other many years, and I can't say anything, but she was treating me like her pet, better than a cat. So, she went out of her way for me. All the other children in the family were not adopted, I was. So, she had a special connection to me, and I can't describe it any other way. I was her pet, and I enjoyed the trip. So, she's holding the picture, she's still looking at it, and she really, I can tell, she really wants me to take it. She says, we're not going to be able to take pictures. I said, why not? She says, are we going into discussion about... Yes, I said, we are. We're going into this discussion because you know what? You need to change your mind. She says, I do. I says, absolutely. I said, we're going to have a great feast and we're going to celebrate and we're going to have a dinner beyond anything we've ever had as a family. She says, we won't be able to eat. I said, I've got news for you. Jesus in the Bible says he came to have lunch with them. He sat with them in a restaurant, and when they prayed over the bread, I said, Oh, she says, you're right. I said, he walked through the doors, but they could touch his hands, put their hands in his holes, in his arms. And I said, Thomas said, my Lord. Oh, she said, don't say anymore. Don't say anymore. And I was really pushing her buttons because she was not happy. So I said to her, Auntie, you know I respect you. You know that I care about you. And you know what? I really want you to agree with Mom and I that this is not the end of our lives. Auntie that has gone home with all of our family that we love. I said, you know, she believed in Jesus. She went to church every single week that she could. I said, you know, she received his body and blood. She's going to come back out of that grave along with my dad and the rest of the house. She says, you know what? You're right. So I kind of motioned to my mom, and Mom joined me, and I got up, and the three of us prayed in the kitchen that we were going to have a celebration beyond anything we ever knew, and there would be a picture session beyond anything with the joy of God in us. And she started to weep. She says, you know, I miss my sister so much. And I says, I miss her too. But I don't want you to miss her forever, because we are going to be together.
Right.
Because of Jesus, we're going to be together. So you see, unbelief. Their words seemed like nonsense. I experienced that. The words I gave my aunt seemed like nonsense. How can this be? We're going to have pictures. Hey, it's going to be better than that. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 9. When they came back to the tomb, they told all these things. I'm sorry. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. Verse 10. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Verse 11. They did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb. He's going to check those girls out. Ran to the tomb. It's important to see he ran, okay? Peter ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself, what's happened? Wondering to himself what has happened. You got to remember, Peter was close to the Lord. He had a revelation of who he was. He had an awareness that he watched him walk on water. He even walked on water with him. How come he lost all that and had to run? Why was he running? Was he running to prove the women being full of nonsense?
Hope.
You got it. Hope made him run. There were times in my life I had to run to make sure that what he had said to me was going to manifest. There were seasons that I questioned my own sanity. Why am I doing this? I'm being persecuted. I'm causing pain to so many because I'm doing this to obey the Holy Spirit. And if I said those words to those that were offended at me, guess what they said? You're driving me crazy! And I'm not kidding. I'm telling you the truth. You're driving me crazy. And all the blame, I began to use it. And I said, oh my God. Then I pounded my own heart, Paula, just like you. Okay? Because the doubts were in there. And when those doubts weren't dealt with, I wondered if I was sane. Do you think Peter, when he saw that here's the cocoon that Jesus literally came out of. I mean, the cocoon is there.
Right.
Okay? Remember, he didn't have to open doors. He didn't have to open that cocoon that he was wrapped up in like a mummy, which, by the way, in 3 days' time had hardened like a rock. Did you consider that? It's like having a plaster on your leg after you've got a leg broken, and they put a plaster on you, and it's as hard as a brick, and you can hit it with a hammer. That's the kind of cocoon he was in. And when Peter saw it intact, what do you think happened? What happened to his unbelief? Can you imagine the war within his soul, his mind, his will, his emotions, how he had betrayed him, how he's now, and I mean, you know, I don't want to go out of town. I don't want to leave. But the women said, go back. You know, he's going to show up. He's going to show up. I've got enough to say. I want you to close your eyes now. Just keep them closed for a moment. Say, Lord Jesus, we know you're in the back of the room. We gratefully accept you're here. How much unbelief does it take to cross you out of this place? I'm now dealing with that unbelief. And like Peter, I'm going to really trust that the women aren't crazy. They saw him here. He's looking at us. Get a good look, Lord. We're doing our best to obey. And we're going to continue holding on to you until you manifest fully. And we're excited about this being Resurrection Sunday. Amen. I'm rising out of unbelief. I'm resurrecting out of it. And there will be a photo session. And Jesus will be in the middle. Of that great big picture. It'll be House of Prayer. And the overseer. The bishop of our soul. Jesus Christ. Amen. That's all I got. Make sure you give some hugs to each other. And have a tremendous day with your families. And recognize that if there's a little bit of time to sit aside, a little bit of time tonight for the feast, it's closing officially right now, but there's still one more day, okay? So we didn't have.